We're back now in the eighth chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. Took a little side trip last time for Easter, but we're going to look at another passage from that wonderful letter to the Romans, eighth chapter. We're going to look at the 26th and 27th verses today. So if you want to look that up in the Bible, I'll read it while you follow along. Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He searches our heart. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. There's an awfully lot in those two verses. But suppose we erect a big sign out in front of our church and on it we write this message: we offer strength for weakness. I wonder how many people would take us up on our offer. I wonder how many people would even notice it, for that matter. But this is exactly what Paul is talking about in the scripture I just read to you. It's all about weakness. We are back in that eighth chapter of the book of Romans. And right away, I see a couple of things about these two verses that we just read. First of all, Paul means to encourage everyone who struggles with a problem of weakness, which I am pretty sure is a universal problem. People may not like to admit the fact that they are weak, but I think it is true nonetheless. And what I like about Paul's use of this in this passage, he uses the pronoun us and not you. In other words, Paul is saying that he's in the same boat that we are, admitting that he too has to deal with weakness. Now, I don't know what your weakness may be. I'm sure that you know, or you're aware of it, some areas in which you are weak. And I am certainly aware of my own weaknesses. And I know that they bother me at times. And that's why the next thing that Paul tells us is so encouraging. He says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. That is encouraging because all of us have tried to overcome our weakness by ourselves and we have ended up failing. We have said, I'll never do that again. And yet we find ourselves doing that, whatever that may be for you. We find ourselves doing that again. Or we may be on the other end of it by saying, I'm going to start doing that tomorrow. And we start off in a burst of enthusiasm. But we soon grow weary and give up. Let's face it, my friends, we are weak. If that is, we try to do it on our own. Paul says, we have help available to us. And that's why we should not even try to do it on our own. His name is Holy Spirit. He lives in us. And He knows where we are weak, whether it is physically, mentally, or spiritually rooted. He is able to help us, because that's what He does. But only if we turn to Him and let Him help us. Now, have you ever had a family member or a friend that you could clearly see needed help, and you offered your help to that person, but that person ended up rejecting your offer for help? We may have even pleaded with that person by saying, please let me help you, but to no avail. It is hurtful to see people refusing help when they need it so desperately. That must be how the Holy Spirit feels when we fail to include Him or refuse to let Him help us. Now, commentary on this word help tells us it occurs here and only one other place in the New Testament. The meaning is that someone is carrying a heavy load and another person comes alongside that person to take the other end and bear the burden with him. The other use of help is in Luke 10:40, where Jesus is in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, but Martha was distracted with all of her preparations. Finally, she burst out, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." She wanted her sister to help bear the burden of preparing and serving the meal. Now, we can understand Martha's concern, but Jesus pointed to a higher priority, which was namely spending time with him. The point is, there is help available to us. We just have to recognize our weakness, swallow our pride, and ask for that help. Now, this word implies that the Holy Spirit doesn't do everything while we just sit back and do nothing. We have a part to play. And at times, that may require us to take some action. While at other times, we just need to stay out of the way and let the Holy Spirit work. We do not have to let our weakness be spiritually debilitating. Now, I've been talking about receiving help for weakness in general. But in today's scripture, Paul talks about receiving help in the realm of prayer in particular. Speaking at a pastor's conference, preacher and author Francis Chan told of many answers to prayer that he has received. He said that for those who know the living God, this should be the norm. According to him, we should have such frequent answers to prayer that it seems that we're surprised when an occasional one goes unanswered. Now, I don't know how you related to what Francis Chan said, but personally, I have not had that kind of experience with prayer. In fact, it is an area in which I have struggled quite a bit. You've probably heard about the three most common answers that we receive when we pray. Yes, no, and you've got to be kidding. Actually, that last answer is really, wait a while. I haven't kept a record of the prayer answers I've received over the years, but it seems to me that there have been more no's and wait a whiles than yeses. Perhaps you've had a much better experience with prayer than that. And in that case, more power to you. Maybe you should be up here preaching about this prayer thing. And I should be back there listening to you. And if you can guarantee results, then you're the one I want praying for me. But the truth of the matter is, I think most of us would agree that we all need all the help that we can get when it comes to praying rightly. That's why it is so encouraging when Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray, even when we don't know what to pray for. Again, Paul said, we, not you. Paul himself did not know how to pray as he should. Now, he's not talking about method or technique of praying, but rather the content. He wrestled with the same thing in Philippians 1, 22 through 24, where he couldn't decide whether to pray that the Lord would take him home, which was really his desire, or preserve his life for further ministry. Have you ever been in that place? We don't know what to pray for. We want to pray. We want to reach out to someone. We want to help them. We want to ask the Lord to help them, but we don't know exactly how to pray. Thankfully, God doesn't leave us to ourselves. God graciously gives us the Holy Spirit to help us by interceding for us in our weakness. Paul pictures the Holy Spirit groaning on our behalf to convey that he takes up our needs at the deepest level and conveys our heart, our hurts, our cares, and our needs to to the Father's throne. This should encourage us to pour out our hearts before Him, along with the psalmist who said, "Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts, for God is our refuge." Have you ever felt a bit stymied when it comes to praying for others or even yourself? At times it is quite obvious what we need to pray for. But at other times we just don't know. That's when the Holy Spirit steps in and begins to pray. The word intercession simply means to pray in behalf of others. We know it is right and scriptural to pray for others and even to pray for our own needs. But to have the Holy Spirit praying for us takes praying to a whole new level. It should be very comforting to us, to all of us, to know that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And here's why it is so important. The Holy Spirit helps us by interceding for us according to the will of God. Paul says, "He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." He who searches the hearts most likely refers to the Father. Paul's point is the Father understands all human hearts. And he knows, and through the unspoken groans of the Holy Spirit on our behalf, he determines what our real needs are. In other words, the Holy Spirit takes our deepest feelings and our unexpressed needs to the Father, who understands everything perfectly. Nothing leaves God wondering what our real needs are. Can't imagine God scratching his head when we bring a need to him and say, "That's beyond me. I just don't understand what that is." Or gathering all the council of heaven together and saying, "Does anybody understand what this person needs?" No. Our Heavenly Father knows better than we do what our real needs are. And since God searches and knows every heart, our prayers should always come from our hearts. We can impress others with spiritual sounding prayers, but those prayers don't impress God. We need to come before Him, pour out our hearts honestly to Him. But what if our prayers are not in line with God's will? The last phrase of verse 27 seems to say that the Holy Spirit makes corrections for any misdirected prayers that we make by praying for us according to the will of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit takes any prayer that we make, and it may not be in line with God's will, and He directs that to the Father in the will of God. We know that we should never pray for anything that is contrary to Scripture, but there are times when we simply don't know what to pray for. There are times when we don't know what God's will is in a certain matter. And so one of the things we do is we ask the Father, "What is your will in this matter? How should we pray? How should we come to you and bring this to you and leave it with you?" As I understand what Paul is saying, we should pray according to the will of God as best we can, always remembering that He does have a will in a matter. But if God's will differs from our prayers, the Spirit will correct our requests to line up with God's will, even if it seems to us that our prayers are not answered or that they are denied. In God's plan, they will be answered. One well-known example of this is that of Augustine's godly mother, Monica. Some people pronounce that Augustine. He was a very famous theologian. For years she prayed for the salvation of her wayward son. He got into all kinds of trouble, and he lived a life of sin. And one day he told his mother that he was going to move to Italy, and she didn't want him to move to Italy because she was afraid he would get into more sin. So she prayed that he would not go. But Augustine went anyway. And wonder of wonders, while he was in Italy, he found salvation there. The Spirit took Monica's deepest desire, redirected it before God's throne, and eventually Augustine was saved. And he became a very influential theologian of his time, and even of this day. The problem is that sometimes we are short-sighted. We can only see for a short distance. We don't see things in the same way that God sees them. We don't have his perspective on things because he sees them from a different way. He sees not only where we are at the moment, but he sees down the road. Sometimes we don't understand God's ways. Sometimes we don't realize that his will be done. Sometimes we don't realize that the prayers that we offer to him will be answered, but in his time and in his way. So here's the bottom line. We should be encouraged to pray. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling us. Even if you don't understand everything about prayer, even if times it seems like prayer is not working for you, even if you're having difficulty with prayer, continue to pray. Paul says, pray. Continue to pray. The Lord commands us to pray, for he has ordained prayer as a means by which we cooperate with him in bringing about his will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what Jesus taught us to pray. We should not let the fact that we don't always know how to pray keep us from praying. Paul didn't know how to pray as he should, but he told us, pray at all times. We don't even begin to understand all that can be accomplished through prayer. We have such a short understanding of what God wants to do as we come to him in prayer. So he says, don't quit. Even though it may look like our prayers are not being answered, keep on praying. Pray earnestly. Pray patiently, knowing that the Holy Spirit is taking our prayers, is praying for us in our weakness. That should cause us to persevere in prayer. So keep on keeping on when it comes to prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us this opportunity to come to you, Father. That you always want us to bring to you our needs. That you always want us to approach you, Father, in faith, believing. That you want us to continue praying, Father, even if it seems like there is no answer forthcoming. Help us, Father, to be faithful in our prayers, faithful in our praying, not only for ourselves, but also for others as well. We know that you accomplish more than we can ever understand as we come together and pray in the name of Jesus. So help us to be faithful, Father, in carrying out our prayer assignment that you have given to us. And Father, we will give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.